Thank you, Mr. Fleming. And let me greet all with a great big happy Sabbath to all who are on the phone and the internet. It is a real blessing to have that service and to be able to come together and welcome one another to the family here of God that He has brought together. You know, we are having a on and off cloudy day here today. Mr. Fleming mentioned his a little bit there in Texas, and I might mention ours a little bit here in Missouri. It's a beautiful Sabbath day, even though it's an on and off, sometimes cloudy, sometimes sunny, but it never seems to remove the humidity that is in the air. So anyway, it's a blessing to be able to be alive and to be able to know God's Word is in our hearts and minds and being able to follow His truth, ways, and the walk that He's put before us to walk. And so anyway, we're very blessed to be able to come together here and to give a few announcements about those who are looking for prayers and those who are needing some encouragement and help. I want to mention here, we received a call this morning here from Maxine Coons. She wants to thank every one of you for your prayers on her behalf. As you know, we've been mentioning that now a couple of weeks here about the problem she was having with swelling and having problems with that. And so I take it was very painful, whatever the cause of it was. But anyway, she let us know that the swelling is going down, and she was definitely much happier on the conversation on the phone, having feeling better. And so she really wanted to thank every one of you for praying for her, because it truly is being heard and answered, and she was very pleased for that to happen and to be able to thank all of you as she wants to do during the announcements here that I'm giving today. Also, Maxine, I might mention here, lives with her daughter Susan, who is being a big help to her and for her. You know, she's asked us to be praying for Susan, though, because Susan's having some real serious personal problems. They don't need to be mentioned what they are, but we know that God will hear our prayers for her. And so she's asking us to have her in mind in our prayers daily and to help Susan get better and get over the problem that she's having. But anyway, I just pray that ask that you will both, that we will pray for both of them in our prayers and asking God to intervene in their behalf and help them, because it's not fun being sick or not feeling well. And so we hope that everything goes well for Maxine and her daughter, Susan. Dr. Terrell of Portland, Oregon is asking us for our prayers too. It sounds like that Oregon is in need of rain desperately. You know, if you've not known, but Washington and Oregon and Northern California are very wet areas. A lot of rain, a lot of storms pass by those states, and it usually gets an abundance of rain, and that rain usually keeps the rivers nice and full and the lakes full. But I take it right now that they're in a trial where they're having with no rain at all, and they're not used to that, and so they're asking us to pray for them to have weather. At least Dr. Terrell is asking us to pray for those there in that area who live up there to get some rain and to get the pattern here of this weather pattern that seems to have changed on them back to where it was, something that they were more used to. So if you would, just remember them in your prayers and that weather for them up there. You might mention also Missouri here, we're needing rain too. We've been out about a month now without any rain, and that doesn't help things out here because it is very, very dry, even though the lake is still full, but it's still, we need rain. And so if you know, if you've been here, we got an awful lot of trees that need to be watered. God gave us those trees and landscaped. And so we're asking Him to bring the water on and water those trees for us, and the blessing that we have to see the beauty of them. Also want to remember Puerto Rico is having their problems still with electricity. They're definitely not full up to par again on the whole island there, and it's still causing some problems, and still is having some safety problems as well, because people are not bashful about going and stealing other people's property, stealing gas and so forth. And so anyway, if you keep them in your prayers, and ever so often I'll be reminding you and myself of praying for them like we do the others that we have on our prayer list. We're able to send the July-August magazine we were to the printers last Monday. We were glad to get that together. I thought we were going to get it together last week, so we were able to do that. But anyway, now we're just waiting to get the magazine sent back to us on the computer so we can okay it, that all the pages are where they are supposed to be and all the cover and so forth is where it's supposed to look like and so forth. So they're pretty good about giving us all that information and showing us on the computer before we give it the okay for them to mail out to us. So anyway, that's in the area we're waiting for right now, is to give them the okay to go ahead and continue to put the magazine, publish it together so they can send it to us to send out. Oh, this time in the magazine, I just might mention here to you, we did put an advertisement in there for the God's Feast. We put it in there in the magazine. Usually we send out a separate brochure on that. We've been doing, but anyway, we're going to see what kind of response we get from putting it in the magazine and how many others are out there that might would respond to it who we don't know personally because they get the magazine, but they don't correspond with us. So anyway, you might be praying about that as well, that if you know that we are such a small little tiny group here and it's not really broadcast very loud across the United States or across Puerto Rico or across any other area, Canada, or that's Mexico and so forth. But anyway, God's Feast is going to be held here again this year in the office, in God's office here. So you might be praying about that as well. Okay, that kind of finishes me up with my announcements. I can't think of anything else here that I might have missed. I know sometimes my wife kind of reminds me of things, which I'm glad she does because I do have a very short memory. But she is a gigantic help here for me and the things that she does here in the office. You know, when we listen to these evangelists that I'm sure many of you do, just like I do, you catch them on the news or catch them in a newspaper or magazine, and they write and so forth, and they're all talking about just accepting Jesus Christ into your heart, that is the real trick of the trade, in other words, to get into heaven, as they are proposing for everybody to be going to heaven, because that is what they say: when you die, you will go to heaven. If you're a good guy. If you're a bad guy, that's not going to work in that case. But anyway, the Bible is very clear about things such as what I just mentioned about that. That, you know, the Church of God has never taught that we're going to go to heaven. It definitely is brought out in many sermons that we've heard, so I don't want to really cover any of that area today. But I do want us to look into God's Word to give some answers to showing that there is more to be saved, so to speak, and to be in God's kingdom than what I just mentioned. And so I want to address that today, and so it involves some pretty clear scriptures and a pretty clear understanding of a responsibility that we have, which amounts to much, much more than what they're preaching and saying. And I know Franklin Graham Jr., that's all he talks about is accepting Christ in your heart, and you will be off and set to be in God's kingdom forever. Well, that's not the case, and so we're going to address that, as I mentioned here today in my sermon. You know, and when we are thinking here about communication, which this is all what that is, it seems we all wish that we had a portion of our Lord's skill and communications. You know, as we know, he was the greatest of all communicators, expressing things through parables. You know, Matthew chapter 13 tells us why and for what reason that Christ used parables when speaking and reading from God's Word. And so let's turn over here to Matthew 13 and showing that that is a principle of God's teaching, the way he has done it, and there is a reason for it and so forth. And so let's just read it out of God's Word, because a lot of this that I'm going to talk about is right out of God's Word. God's speaking to all of us. Here in Matthew 13, starting in verse 10, it says, "And the disciples," and that would be people like us, came and said unto him, Why speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said to them, that is his disciples, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Dropping down here to verse 34, And these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, that is Isaiah, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the fountain of the world. You know, it sounds like some parable meanings are going to only be revealed at this end time of this age that you and I are today living in. And verse 35 indicated that many parables are kept secret. Well, not because God was unwilling to or unprepared to reveal these deeper meanings, but because man was not spiritually ready to receive or to accept it. Understanding was weak. You know, a while back here in the magazine, the Prove All Things magazine, under Sharing God's Word, was a story about a fig tree, a barren fig tree, and it's found over here in Luke chapter 13. And in Luke 13, verses 6 to 9, this fig tree parable seems to have a deeper meaning than what was said in the sharing of God's Word. Turn here now to Luke 13. We'll be reading verses 6 to 9. It will refresh our thoughts on the parable of this fig tree, because we're going to be in and out of that subject throughout the sermon here today, and to bring a little bit more out of the meaning there that it has for us. In Luke 13 and in verse 6, it says, He spake unto these parables, He spake also these parables, A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumber it to the ground? In other words, the word cumber means to render barren or sterile. And in verse 8 it says, And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, fertilize it as we do to our plants. And that's what Christ is talking about, or the vineyard keeper there was talking about. In verse 9 it says, And if it bears fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down. Well, this fig tree was planted for a purpose and used as a parable for a purpose. You know, there are certain facts about this fig tree parable that after going over it, that demands, I think, more of our attention to what the meaning of why we find it in God's Word. To do this, I think let's think of this fig tree. Let's think of this fig tree as a person that has been called into God's church, has been called into God's family to introduce spiritual fruit. Now first, we read that it was a planted tree. Now you want to keep in mind that this tree was not a fig tree by chance, nor is it where it is because some passing breeze or a bird just happened to drop a seed upon this particular spot. It is there because someone possessed of intelligence had planted it there for a reason, just as that intelligent person put it in the Bible for us to read and to look at here today. But this is also the case with us. You know, God has a plan for every one of us. He gives a very, every one of us called a job. Actually, it's a job offer, a work or a service to do, because it's a choice if we want to accept it or not. But we can ignore, we cannot ignore what 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 says. But now has God set the members of every one of them in the body, in the church, in the family, as it has pleased him. That involves us today, not way back several thousand years ago, talking here as the New Testament was being put together. You know, we are given special opportunities by the example of Christ being a servant. He delighted to do his Father's will, example of Christ. He identified himself with man, another example that Christ did. He went about doing good, doing God's work, doing what God has called all of us to do. You know, he did everything through the power of God's Holy Spirit, of his Father's Holy Spirit. And this goal was to be a unselfish sacrifice for us. That's what he did by having his body beat upon, broken, for our healing, and bloodshed for our remission of sins. Because we're all guilty of that. You know, God the Father planned the life of his Son just as he plans your life and mine, especially after being called out of this dying world. And it is a dying world. You know, the purpose of this fig tree planting was to look upon and see bearing fruit. It was to give an account of itself in terms of producing figs. You know, it should have been living in a state of readiness, just as we should be living in a state of readiness. 16 times in God's inspired instruction book, that is the Bible, we find the phrase, be ready. In other words, be you ready. The first be ready is found over here in Exodus 19 and verse 11, when the children of Israel were to be ready for the Lord to descend upon the Mount Sinai. And in the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to those asking for a reason of their hope, of our hope. We are also told to be ready for every good work in Titus 3 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 3 and 5, it reads, to be ready to give generously, talking of tithes and offerings. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, be ready to preach the word in and out of season. Now the Boy Scouts motto is, be prepared. And our motto is, to be ready. But the question comes to mind, are we? Are we ready? Are we being groomed to get ready and be ready? You know, we can neither take a break from our calling nor relax from our spiritual vigilance. You know, our stand is to be ready to share, to give, to witness, to work, to serve, to daily seek the kingdom of God, most of all be ready for Christ's return. Very important points. Every one of these has a deed tied to it. It's not just an imagination thing, but it's an actual physical thing. Physical responsibility. So our calling is a very serious matter. It's not a laughing matter to be thought of lightly. You know, the fig tree was not in this planting place of privilege and opportunity just for itself. It was planted there to serve others by bearing fruit. That also is the purpose of our being called into God's church, into God's family. You know, God never planned that any man should live selfishly just for himself. You know, God never purposed that any life he calls should be useless or hurtful, that is, to others, or to love one another. That all is within balance of serving God. We are not here to lean, but to lift. Not to hinder, but to help. In fact, God has put every one of us here for a helpful purpose. That means helpfulness that is written within our ability and reach. You know, we all can be a genuine service, if we will. It's up to us to do that. It's a choice, as we've had so many sermons on that area of speech. So we need to take on Christ's thoughts that we find over here in John 9 and in verse 4, where it says in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. So there's a time period here that fits in with what I'm saying. It's not going to be an everlasting thing. It's an opportunity now, a choice now. It's a fact that this fig tree was planted in a place of special privilege and where fruit was to be rightfully expected. That's the pathway that the trail led. And this is why Christ seen that tree as he was passing by again that had not bared the fruit that he was expecting it to have done. But it failed utterly to fulfill the purpose for what it was planted. You know, this is why when Christ came to search for fruit, he found none. He came again only to be disappointed, so he ordered it to be cut down. You know, by example, that fig tree refused to fulfill its purpose for which it had been planted, cultivated, and protected. You know, a like figure is possible for me and you, God's elect. The fact that God's plans our lives does not mean that he will compel or force us to carry out his plan. It's up to us. It's up to us. You know, he has dreamed great dreams for every one of us. But we at times have failed, frustrated, and disappointed him. Again, how many times I've dropped on my knees to ask forgiveness of such, because I'm as guilty as anybody. You know, that is what some of us are probably doing way too often. And I'm included in that. You know, he comes seeking some worthy, purposeful, active fruit in our lives, and he finds little because we refuse to allow any large degree of the fruit of his Holy Spirit to deeply enter into our lives. You know, I have used this term deeply several times in sermons before because of what I read in Colossians 2 and verse 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk you in him. Verse 7 there of Colossians 2 and following up here in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Are we thanksgiving God? Are we thanking God for the blessings of this choice that He's given us? Are we fulfilling it? You know, these verses refer to us as plants, you know, rooted deeply in God's life, work, and character. You know, 4 points of spiritual growth comes directly out of this 2 verses that I just read to us. You know, we are to grow deep, rooted in God's ways, is one of them. Another one here is we are to grow up using Christ as our example. And 3, we are to grow strong in the faith and grow with all thanksgiving. You know, this foundation of root grows has tremendous implications for God's church, for God's family. I do not believe that we have to have been placed in our setting by chance. You might, I don't know. But I believe our Creator God wished for us to use our given talents and abilities to bear fruit by serving. You know, John Maxwell, who writes leadership books, wrote that if you want to reach your potential, you need to add a strong work ethic to your talent. King Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, in the 10th century, wrote in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go." All will die. We know that from Scripture. Every man's going to pass by that death. You know, the advice given in these verses is excellent, but the reason I think is bad. The advice must be restructured to activities that are legitimate, helpful, and edifying in themselves. You know, all of us should believe that we have been called and planted in a place of a peculiar privileges, which we have been. Go to your neighbor's house. They aren't called. Just a little conversation makes that real plain and clear. Go to your business where you work, same thing there. Or your dealings with shopping or whatever. Go with many of your family members who are not called. There's a big difference in the way you think and do things in life. So we are placed in a peculiar place of privileges. You know, and that God is offering us special opportunities if we follow His advice found in Colossians 3 and verse 17. You want to turn there with me and read it with me? It's only one verse that I'm going to pick up, but it might be worth reading here because it's going to fit in with the rest of the sermon here. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," speaking of action, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him." Those are strong words for us, important words for us. You know, the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow shared much insight when he wrote, "The height by great men reached and kept were not obtained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night." But we need to ask ourselves, have we been procrastinating serving instead of jumping into the ambassador task at hand that we've been handed? The possibility of failure is doing this has to be realized. We have to think on things such as that. So what are the results of such failure? Well, the first obvious result would be probably labeled uselessness. You know, this fruitless fig tree was a thing of no use, and that is the tragic truth about many thousands God has called today into His church. Thousands out there are sitting on their laurels, not learning to teach others the truth. Stand behind the truth. It's like a church on a corner. They come and find a seat, and that's all they do is warm the seat. There's no action after that. It has no more meaning than that to them. Others are doing the job for them, so why should they jump in and try to help? You know, they are guilty of no vicious or outrageous wrongdoing. They're not violating God's laws in any large degree, but they are just spiritually not producing fruit. Fruit from having God's Holy Spirit. You know, they sit here hearing the call for great needs in the church, ringing their ears, but they never seem to hear. It's like they got cotton in their ears. They hear a sound, but it's not clear nor resonating through their ears to their mind to think about, to meditate on. You say, what's my choice in this avenue that we're talking about here? Well, that is a tragic loss both to the individual and to the church God has called them into. On the other side of that statement are those who tell us, after contacting us, we expect to participate. In other words, we expect to be used and serve. Great to the ears that hear that from them. I've heard that said times in my lifetime while I've been called and blessed by God in His church. You know, Christ was aware not all called would serve. Notice with me over here Luke 10 and verse 2. The instructions He gave to the 70 disciples that were similar to those previously given to the 12 disciples. Luke 10 and verse 2 says, but the laborers, that is talking about servers, are few. Pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers unto His harvest. That sounds like workers to me. You see, that's what it was when I belonged to the laborers union when I was young, starting out in life. You know, I'm convinced that perhaps the most shocking waste that affects the Church of God today is the complacent moral spiritual idleness of so many decent, talented, and capable people. God has truly blessed a lot that have a lot to give. You know, this time wasting is a sin. It's a sin to God. It's the crime of crimes, according to what we read in the parable of the 10 virgins. Christ says as much in His parable of the fig tree, because those 10 virgins had the opportunity, but they sat back on their laurels. They didn't fulfill the job God was calling them to fulfill. Their oil ran out. They were too lazy to go get more of God's help and put oil in their vessel that they had to put oil in to be ready for Christ when He was returned for the wedding. You know, Christ says as much in His parable of the fig tree judgment. Says every disaster that is visited is a result not of some wrong thing done, but of some right thing left undone. God exposes this when using the parable. You know, we already mentioned these five foolish bridesmaids that had the bridal door shut before them. We don't want that to happen to us. We want to keep that oil full, using it at its full power when it's full. You know, that had to be a shock to them to find that door did become shut, and the others, worthy virgins, were blessed. But they, not because they had become unclean, but because they had no oil of truth. They loafed during their training time, letting character God offered them slip away. We are in the opportunity today, we're in class, to learn to be teachers, to get over being bashful. That's a challenge for me because I don't like speaking. It's a challenge for me, and I'm sure it is for some of you. But somewhere along the line, we're being, don't let this time slip away like those foolish virgins did, and find out it was too late. God shut the door to that brideship, to that being in heaven where that wedding's going to take place and return with Christ when he returns with his bride for the rest of the saints, that the door was shut on. In other words, they loafed during their training time, letting character just slip away, as I just said. The parable of the man of one talent was accused of being worthless, not because he had squandered God's money, but because he had refused to invest it, to see it develop and grow. You know, the fig tree was ordered to be cut down, not because it was bearing fruit that was poisonous, but because it was bearing no fruit at all, meaning it had no serving purpose. Yet it still stood as a tree, just like those virgins, those foolish virgins. They stood as a body, but they were useless. You know, we all have to ask ourselves, what contribution in serving God am I making? There's a parable. There was a time after being called that maybe you dreamed and prayed to be physically helpful and useful for serving in God's church, saying, God, I will do anything to be in your kingdom. I will accept any job you give me, Lord, just to be in your kingdom, in serving your covenant, serving your ways. Well, all those things that I just said come under that first love experience, that excitement that we all have when we're first called and given that blessing to have God's words dust blown off of them, and we begin to actually see things written there that we didn't realize was there, all building the right kind of personality, character that we need to have in order to teach others, in order to help others in the world that's just ahead of us, a millennial of time. Be ready. That's what I see from God's word. We've read them, read some of them, not all of them, but some of them. You know, I will sweep and mop the church floors. I will set up chairs and serve tables. I'll work in the parking lot. I will pass out songbooks. I will greet people when entering church. I will speak often to one another that's been called. I will pray for the and visit the sick and elderly. I will not miss a week, a weekly Sabbath or a holy day Sabbath. I will help with opening and closing prayers when asked. I will give tithes and offerings for preaching God's truth. I will do whatever you ask, Lord, just to be in your kingdom, just to be in your government. to serve others. You know, to bear no godly fruit or work daily putting on the new man is not only being a waster of time, but by example, an ineffective ambassador for God. Goes back to those 10 virgins again. Go back and read that account of them. Only half of them were ready. The other half are still not ready, even though they've been warned. So the final results of fruitlessness is that it invites disaster. Remember what we read earlier? Cut it down, are the words Christ said in Luke 13 and verse 9. But since fruitlessness does not result in immediate destruction, some are led to believe that no such results will ever follow. That's one of the problems with our laws, man's laws here in this world. Turn with me over here to Ecclesiastes 8. Ecclesiastes 8. Because I think God's word needs to back me when I say something like that, and not just be something off of the top of my head that I think should be done that certain way. Here in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. That's just something that's happening today. How many crimes that are being committed and done and are not taken to the right judgment immediately, then they just continue doing what they've been doing. It never ends. You know, the fact that the penalty of sin is not visited at once is due to the mercy of God. Let it alone this year also pleased the vine dresser. Now, what was said there in that parable of the fig tree? See, he didn't do what God said to do. Cut it down. It's being a waste. It's not doing the job it was called to do. You know, the fact that we have been spared in spite of our time wasting, that is, learning to teach, because that's what we're in God's church every Sabbath to be picking up on, does not mean that this inevitable law that has forgotten to operate. It only means that God is exercising his patience to bring us to our responsibilities. You know, let us not be blinded by his outpouring of mercy, as we too often are. How then shall we escape this weakness of time wasting? Well, the way to escape it is indicated by the plan, inspired word of our Lord. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Whoa, the door closed there. The repentance that Jesus is requiring means a turning from barrenness to fruitfulness. That is certainly the first step towards usefulness, to be right with God. It is absolutely essential to work on producing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. You know, they all relate to serving mankind. Love. I'll go for those fruits of God's Holy Spirit here. And there's a deed that goes with every one of them. If you study into it, it's not just a word and a meaning of a word, but there's more deeper meaning in the very meaning of them. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Wow. You know, everyone who looks back and evaluates his or her performance consciously must admit that there have been great periods of time when we were not very productive as a fig tree in the vineyard of God. Because we want to change that. We want to correct that. We want to be productive. We want to be a helper in others' joy. experiencing God's truth. You know, we have not brought forth the fruit that would be pleasing to God, or which we should could be properly proud. While some opportunities may have fallen into the past and are impossible to recall, you know, we can rejoice in the fact that we do have the present and some portions of the future left. There's still time to change the attitude. You know, the fig tree analogy should be an awakening alarm to all of us. All of us that have been called the elect, that we read of in Matthew 24. Let's take a moment of time and consider what being called the elect means. You know, God has chosen to call us in this end time unto a world that is devoid of truth and which now faces the stark consequences of its own rebellious ways. You and I, God's elect, that have been called and blessed, have been given God's Holy Spirit and mindset. It is our reassurance, promise, and guarantee of eternal life. Read with me over here in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, which speaks of the end time tribulation. Here in verse 21, Matthew 24 and verse 21, "For then there shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days shall be shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So the elect, spoken of here, literally means God's chosen ones, which we are. Do we get the importance of that? You know, we are special to God because we are the sons of God, begotten by His Holy Spirit and not yet born of that spiritual body that were promised ahead of us yet to happen. For now, God is not calling everyone to understand His plan for mankind. Rather, we see that it is a few are certainly not the ones that the world would choose to be the few. You know, after services today, or sometime this coming week, read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians to see why we are among the elect of God. Did you know that Jesus Christ is also spoken of as God's elect, God's chosen one? Notice in the Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. There it says, "Behold, my servant, whom I beheld, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him." Isaiah 42 and verse 1. You know, being the elect, chosen from God's barley harvest, places us in a position to be the bride among the firstborn into God's heavenly family and in the everlasting kingdom of God. Those are exciting words. Wow. You know, this is an outlined, I think, in the book of Romans here in chapter 8. Reading there verses 29 to 30 in Romans in the New Testament, chapter 8. There it tells us, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose." Like the fig tree had a purpose, we have a purpose. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestine, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Understanding that just as God bound himself to Abraham and his descendants, so has he committed his unbreakable promise to us, his chosen ones, in God's word called the elect. Turn with me over here to Titus 1. I want to just pick up Titus 1 there. Here we will see how Paul addresses this assurance we have. In verse 1 it says there in Titus, Paul, a bound servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which according to his godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promises before time began. Predestined. There's a job there. He can predestine it because who's going to fill that job? Someone has to do it. And when that job is filled, that's the person or the individual that was predestined to do it. But sitting on our laurels don't put us in that shape. We've got to continue to remember that we are God's elect. You know, we are in the company of those called, chosen, and faithful of God who are recorded in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, the very faith chapter, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, these men and women were faithful in what God asked of them. They preserved with unyielding faith because they looked to the future, as we should, to eternal life and not just to the temporary goals of this lifetime. And so it must be with each of us. You know, our hearts, our priorities, our very lives must be centered on pleasing God, our Creator. You know, we might ask ourselves, if our life is focused on that goal? Is there something that is causing us to stumble and not be ready when God says we are to be ready? If there is, we need to face the problem squarely by taking it to God when we pray, when we go into a conversation with God on our knees, humbling ourselves before him. You know, being of the elect of God, we have access to him. You know, we can go to God through Jesus Christ, our high priest, who can help on our behalf. Well, recognize with me here Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Turning here over to a few chapters, to chapter 8 again, where we were earlier, and in reading verse 1, Hebrews 8 and verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. You know, as being the elect of God, we need to always remember to stay grounded and rooted in the love of God, in the avenue of the love of God. 1 John 4 is a reminder from the apostle concerning how the elect should conduct themselves. Here in 1 John 4 in verse 10 and 11, it says, In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's the serious words. Love one another. Have compassion for one another. Have outgoing concern for one another. And putting those fruits of the Holy Spirit with the attachment of those deeds that go with it. Every one of them. The responsibility of a deed that goes with them. Well, in closing, I would like for you to remember the deep found meaning of the parable of the fig tree that we just addressed. Pray earnestly to bear God's spiritual fruit. Don't forget to pray for one another, as we mentioned in the announcements, for those who are seriously needing prayer now. Pray for God's spiritual help as we seek his truth. Pray for the return of Jesus Christ and for God's kingdom to come. Our daily responsibility. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. With that, I will turn services over